GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Arkansas spent the night continuing to search for the convicted killer who escaped from prison last week.
Authorities believe Grant Hardin could be hiding in the woods near the prison, but heavy rain and rugged terrain are slowing the search. Hardin, once the police chief of Gateway, Arkansas, was serving decades in prison for two violent crimes, a man's execution-style murder in 2017 and the rape of a teacher inside a school in 1997, which became the focus of a documentary entitled Devil in the Ozarks.
ABC's Lana Moise, SpaceX's latest test flight successful in blasting the 400-foot Starship into the sky over Texas. But once in orbit, the rocket failed to deploy its test payload, and then the fuel tank started leaking, and then it spun out of control and broke up on re-entering the atmosphere. COVID shots no longer will be recommended for healthy children and pregnant women. That on direction from Health Secretary Robert Kennedy. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Billie Eilish had an outstanding Memorial Day weekend. She took home an award for every category she was nominated in at the American Music Awards Sunday night, thanks to her album, Hit Me Hard and Soft. Eilish was nominated 7 times, including for Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Favorite Touring Artist, Favorite Female Pop Artist, and Favorite Pop Album. She also won for Song of the Year and Favorite Pop Song. Beyoncé brought home 2 awards for Favorite Female Country Artist, and her somehow controversial album, Cowboy Carter, notched her a Favorite Country Album trophy. Post Malone also now has his first country music award after winning Favorite Male Country Artist. Eminem took home 2 awards for Favorite Male Hip Hop Artist and Favorite Hip Hop Album for The Death of Slim Shady. Gracie Abrams won Best New Artist, and Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars won Best Video Collaboration. Also won Favorite Pop Musical Artist of the Year. I was shut out again. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A walk-off win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bottom of the 10th. Score tied 1-1. The Brewers' Christian Yelich at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Fly ball!
A 400-yard shot to center field. The Brewers winning 5-1 last night. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's been swinging the bat great. Yeah, special. Special night for him.
Christian Yelich on what kind of a pitch did he see from the Red Sox Liam Hendricks.
You know, kind of just caught a slider, right? And a big win for us. You know, we battled the whole time, and great team win all around.
The series wrapping up today. College football. Former Badgers wide receiver Quincy Burroughs signed by Western Kentucky. NFL. Packers OTAs continue in Green Bay without Jair Alexander or center Elton Jenkins. Both players in talks to renegotiate their contracts. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
The Midwest Farm Report is brought to you by Brickstead Dairy Farms, a 5-generation family-owned and operated dairy in Greenleaf. Local, healthy, affordable beef raised with care and sustainability. Brickstead Dairy Farms. Smart dairy. Healthy planet. BricksteadDairy.com.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at SCORE.org.
John Minow and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll welcome Annie Zalewski from the Dean Opitschka Memorial Softball Tournament. She'll tell us all about a great upcoming event.
And Bryce Kane from Rebel Eddie's Detailing will stop by with tips for keeping your car ready for this summer.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy with scattered showers today. We'll get to the mid to upper 60s for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 75 on Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Mino and the Mayor.
We go to a place and you can just, we actually reserved it already, but they got, even they got the swan. You know what I mean?
I don't know. What is a swan? What do you mean?
Well, it's hard plastic.
Todd's got a smirk on his face. He has a comment.
Okay, so I've seen paddle boats. Where, right?
Right.
Are you talking about one that's actually built like a swan?
Yeah.
I want a picture of that. That'll be my Facebook.
front page.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll take another look at changes to SNAP benefits. We'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Well, if you haven't already seen it, chances are you will. I'm talking about rain in the forecast. Come on in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the air. This is the Midwest Farm Report. And when you talk agriculture, you talk about weather a lot. Whether you're already done with your lawn seeding, your garden planting, or your field planting, weather is still on your mind. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, is along in a little bit. He'll bring us all the weather details. It does look like you've got a pretty good chance of rain today before about 4 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe even a thunderstorm after 4 p.m. High temperatures today, around 59 degrees. The new rainfall we're expecting anywhere from 1/10 to 1/4 inch. Maybe a few areas under those thunderstorms could get a little bit more. Tomorrow, another 30% chance of showers or thunderstorms, mainly in the morning. Partly sunny skies on Thursday, 70 degrees. Friday, another sliver of a chance of rain, probably in the afternoon on Friday. Otherwise, sunny skies and 79. Like I said, Stu's got the weather details on the way. We're also talking about farmers paying attention to weather changes. A new survey out from UW-Madison shows that, yes, indeed, many farmers do believe that we're experiencing climate change, and many of them have already started changing some of their practices to reflect that. That story's on the way. Up first for you on a Wednesday, though, you know, the end of the school year is on the horizon. That puts a smile on a lot of kids' faces and a smile on a lot of teachers' faces, to be quite honest. But it also brings about change. When it comes to agriculture education in Wisconsin, we are scrapping and clawing to make sure that we're getting as many agriculture educators into our state as possible to fill existing positions and help those programs that are thriving expand. I talked about it with Sally Ladston. Sally is the education consultant at the Department of Public Instruction that oversees agriculture, food, and natural resources. She also serves as our Wisconsin FFA advisor, and she's keeping a keen eye on conversations about what agriculture educators are making moves.
Yeah, this is definitely the what I'll call crazy time of year when people start making changes professionally. And so right now we track teacher changes and we're seeing about 19 programs that we're anticipating a change in, whether that's a retirement of a teacher, a change where a teacher chose to leave the program for a variety of reasons, or even starting a new program or a new position. So we track that number pretty closely. Last year, we were right around 60 by the time all was said and done. So I'm anticipating significant movement again this summer, knowing we're right around that 20 mark. Probably at least double that is what I would expect to see, but it's really hard to say this early on in the year. But going into the state FFA convention is when we really start to hear about those changes, whether it's, you know, teacher leaving, oh, exciting news, we're starting a new program. The biggest things that we're excited for is seeing agricultural education expanding throughout the state, whether it be the coursework in particular, and also seeing some growth in FFA chapters. In particular, we've got a couple of programs that are looking at hiring an agriculture teacher for the first time. So excited for those programs. And obviously the key there being really hopeful that they can find a teacher to fill those roles. And that's really our biggest challenge. I get a lot of calls asking about starting agriculture programs. And the biggest thing is whether or not a school can find a teacher. We're really fortunate in Wisconsin that we've got a wide range of options for potential teachers to pursue to obtain licensure. And so that's allowed us to maintain a lot of our programs and also to grow in a few places. But I know there's definitely interest out there. As far as the FFA side of things, then we're seeing honestly some growth in the virtual spaces, a few virtual schools looking at coming on board and having conversations about what that looks like and how we can offer our programming in a unique environment and how we can meet the needs of those students in a similar way that we're meeting needs of students attending an in-person classroom. So seeing that change has been really exciting. This year in particular, we're not seeing quite as many retirements that I'm aware of, at least at this point in time. which is a good thing in the sense that we're keeping our teachers and not seeing some changes that way, but also knowing that we're seeing some changes where folks are choosing to leave the profession, whether it be for another subject or leaving teaching altogether and heading into the industry. Obviously, we don't want to get anyone stuck in a position that they don't want to be in, but we also want to find ways to make agricultural education a space where people are really excited to come to work every day and keep them in that profession as long as they're interested.
Well, and you were mentioning to me, some school districts put such a high priority on keeping their agriculture education offerings that they'll ask those teachers to branch out. You said you're changing up some of the certification requirements to bring more people in, maybe with real world skills, as opposed to that agriculture education diploma. Tell me more about how schools are really working hard to keep existing programs in place and maybe find another slot for the, or another cap to wear in other areas.
Yeah, so we see a wide range of licensure options for folks coming into the profession. Historically, you know, there was always this view that you had to go to one of the universities for 4 years, obtain that agricultural education degree, do your student or intern teaching, and then you'd be ready to enter the classroom. But now we've got a huge offering of potential license options. And one that we see a lot of folks utilizing is actually coming from the industry into education through something called an experience-based license. And so that allows that teacher to work with their local school district to make sure that they've got the training needed to be successful in their classroom, but also allows that program to have someone able to come into the program and step in and make sure that that program can make it through. So that's obviously a huge benefit for us to be able to maintain those programs. It just changes what types of supports those teachers might need. And so that's one of the things that we're exploring. We're also seeing some growth in agricultural education. If a school district is struggling to fill another career in technical education area, you know, we know that our shortage in agriculture is there, but we also know that we're finding ways to build connections and grow our pool of applicants in unique ways that allows us to fill some of those positions easier than maybe some other counterparts. And so that's allowed us to grow a few programs where they've had a transition of we're no longer offering another program and instead we're going to expand our agriculture program. And so that's a unique opportunity that we're seeing and also changing the dynamics of what that agricultural education field looks like for some folks.
If you're just joining us, this is Sally Ladson. She's the education consultant at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction. She is the coordinator for Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources and the Wisconsin Association of FFA Advisor. Let's talk a little bit about the new offerings that you mentioned there, Sally. Some exciting areas that are looking at agriculture. Some may have already had agriculture education in little bits and snips, but they're trying to double down. And like you said, those virtual classrooms gaining in popularity. Tell me more about those.
Yeah, so we've had a couple of virtual schools charter some FFA chapters. Destinations Virtual Academy was our first one, and really exploring, you know, what does FFA look like in a virtual setting? They were offering some agricultural education coursework. And the key to opening the door then to obtaining that FFA chapter is to have a licensed agriculture teacher. And so they came to us and said, you know, we've got a teacher on board. She's doing a great job getting these classes ready to go. How do we bring FFA into this programming? And so really sat down and looked at how do we make this work and what does that look like from a virtual level? FFA in Wisconsin is still very locally driven, and so we know every chapter looks different. And so for a virtual school, it's just their own take on what other schools are doing. And so that's been really exciting. I know we've got another virtual school up in northern Wisconsin that's looking at starting and expanding some of their agriculture offerings, making sure they've got that licensed teacher with the hopes of eventually starting an FFA chapter as well. So that's some exciting news for us. And, you know, finding new ways to offer some of this coursework not only expands us into those spaces, but also gives us an opportunity to review some of the work that we're already doing and thinking, you know, are we offering things in the best way, or should we be looking at making some changes to better meet the needs of the industry and our students today? So I think that time of reflection is really helpful for our programming. And when we look at schools across the state of Wisconsin, you know, we're seeing a lot of the offerings within agriculture meeting the industry needs as best as they can. And so working with local industry employers and seeing what does industry look like in our area, how can we best meet the needs of agriculture, is something that we're constantly looking at. I know another program that's been started in the last couple of years that teachers are really diving into is a Farm Beats program through Microsoft, actually. They've worked with a few ag teachers, and they're planning to do a similar program this year where they're offering different technology lesson plans for teachers to see how do we integrate technology into the classroom and then expand that and make sure that students are prepared for a very technologically advanced industry and trying to keep up with some of those changes that are happening. So that's really exciting. And I know as we start to explore some of the schools that are really looking at starting programs, that's where a lot of programs are talking to us. I met with an administrator a couple months ago who said, you know, I don't know if agriculture is something that our students are planning to pursue. And as we started talking about the depth and breadth of the agriculture industry, all of these connections were being made about their local area and employers that truly are connected to agriculture. And so expanding that view of what all is encompassed under agriculture has really allowed a lot of school districts to consider agriculture offerings.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, it is the beginning of a conversation we'll have again, I'm sure, with Sally Ladston, our education consultant at the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, overseeing agriculture, food, and natural resources, also acting as the Wisconsin Association of FFA advisor. We'll catch up with her again, I'm sure, in a couple weeks at the Wisconsin State FFA Convention, where we'll try to bring you even more numbers, more teacher updates, more program updates from around the state. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
The Midwest Farm Report is brought to you by Brickstead Dairy Farms, a five-generation family-owned and operated dairy in Greenleaf. Local, healthy, affordable beef raised with care and sustainability. Brickstead Dairy Farms. Smart dairy. Healthy planet. BricksteadDairy.com.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk movies and about the box office with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. Then Dennis Graham, founder of Rockconsin, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Help you out. Pop on over to compeer.com to get your search started. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us this morning. You know, it is one of those challenging. I don't know, you know, here are we coming up on June already, and I'm still carrying around all kinds of jackets in my truck. These temperatures just still kind of seem to confuse and challenge us depending on where you are in the state.
Well, Pam, once we get through today, throw the extra hoodie back into the house. Mm-hmm. You're not going to worry about it here at the end of the week, and certainly not into next week. I think a cool day, once we get through today, what we'd consider to be a cool day out of the string then, Looking toward Thursday and maybe Sunday, it will be about a 70-degree high. Other than that, I expect to be much warmer, mid and upper 70s, you know, normal and above. It's time, like you say.
Yeah. Well, you know, today you talk about a hoodie or a sweater. Today it looks like you may still want to grab an umbrella or a slicker, huh?
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to have a major rainstorm, but that's the factor. There is some rainfall that's going to build in. There's been a little. I've got two rainfall reports this morning.
Woo.
Eau Claire at 2/100ths of an inch and La Crosse at 5/100ths of an inch.
Okay. All right. Well, that tells me, is that kind of the line and it's moving towards the southeast now?
It's just going to spread east. Yeah, that's the line. Southwest Wisconsin, Dubuque, and right into the southern part of the state, Monroe, probably getting a nice little shower out of it right now. And then there's another group that heads out of southern Minnesota into western Wisconsin, almost up to Wausau, maybe near Stevens Point, Marshfield, Black River Falls, definitely seeing a little rain this morning. Nothing too heavy, like we said, hundredths of an inch. But low pressure's off to the south, and that system is going to mess up haymaking today, no doubt. That system down toward Kentucky, Tennessee, it's going to try to push a bit further east and northeast, and we'll wrap some of that moist air, unstable air, if you will, up toward the state, and that's going to result in some rain. Scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunderstorm. It's just that, though, a rumble of thunder. Any severe weather is going to be severely limited because of a pretty dry atmosphere, but that small chance does exist. Otherwise, we're just going to see a little rainfall. I think if we really had to pin down, I'd say a tenth of an inch, maybe a quarter inch. Some areas may see just a little over that quarter inch. That rain ends into the nighttime. It may end up in a dry. Later Thursday, again, a chance of a little scattered shower activity. And then again, later Friday into Friday night, a small possibility of a little rain. You get the picture. It's not great for haymaking. It's just going to mean about the time it dries out, you get some rain on it. Hopefully you're getting it in quickly into a bunker or something, and it's not down for all that long. But it's just going to become a little more difficult with that rain chance that tries to pop up every now and again. The temps now respond, and we'll be warming up nicely for Thursday, Friday, and the weekend. That's where we're talking about those mid and upper 70s. There may be an 80 in western Wisconsin this weekend. I'd expect those 80s pushing across southern Wisconsin once we get on into early next week. I'll be back with the warmer forecast right after this.
Oh, it is grilling season, and it is time for you to meet Bavaria Sausage. If you haven't already, fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee reminding you they're located at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Always open online, BavariaSausage.com. Just take a look at the variety that you can select from for the center of the plate, the center of the grill. And always keep in mind the clean labels that you're looking at. Bavaria Sausage relies on tried and true old world recipes that really require very few ingredients. They're also always changing product offerings, trying to make sure that you're finding not only the convenience you're looking for, but the quality and taste you're always looking for. Simple to find, BavariaSausage.com, or go to the store, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrotter Road in Fitchburg, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. BavariaSausage.com, get shopping.
All right, I think I'll head that direction today because you're giving me optimism about the forecast.
Yeah, it will be getting warmer. I happen to think of something I should have mentioned. I know they're taking hay off all around me. Unfortunately, I'm seeing a lot of mud coming out of those fields, so it is a little wet, and that's not great for second crop. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Let's look at our forecast today. It's mostly cloudy and showers and maybe even an isolated thunderstorm trying to pop up. Not going to amount to a great deal today, and I'd expect about 60, maybe low 60s in southern Wisconsin. And in the north, not as great of a rain chance, so we stay a little more mild there as well. The north winds 5 to 10. That possibility of rain this evening, still mostly cloudy as we fall to the low 50s in the south into the 40s north. The north wind still only about 5, not very breezy. For Thursday, partly sunny skies, that small rain chance in the south in the afternoon, more likely 70 here, maybe some upper 60s, low 70s in the north. And by Friday, mostly sunny, a small rain chance again later afternoon and evening. but upper 70s, Pam. We start the warming trend then for Friday, and I'd expect upper 70s and maybe some 80s already by Sunday and Monday.
All right. That is nice to hear. You know, the thing about it, we talk about us carrying around jackets. It's not deterring insects. Dr. Sean Conley, University Extension soybean specialist, posted a video yesterday of all kinds of cutworms and army worms that are finding Wisconsin's climate just fine, just fine. So we got to kind of be mindful of that, too.
Yeah, we don't. They can go away now.
Yeah. I wish they knew that. I wish they could understand. All right, man, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right, see you then.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. If you've got weather information you want to share, 877-301-FARM. That's our talk text line, 877-301-3276. Ag Weather brought to you by Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Eber's budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police in Arkansas spent the night continuing to search for the convicted killer who escaped from prison last week.
Authorities believe Grant Hardin could be hiding in the woods near the prison, but heavy rain and rugged terrain are slowing the search. Hardin, once the police chief of Gateway, Arkansas, was serving decades in prison for 2 violent crimes, a man's execution-style murder in 2017 and the rape of a teacher inside a school in 1997, which became the focus of a documentary entitled Devil in the Ozarks.
ABC's Lana Moise, SpaceX's latest test flight successful in blasting the 400-foot Starship into the sky over Texas. But once in orbit, the rocket failed to deploy its test payload, and then the fuel tank started leaking, and then it spun out of control and broke up on re-entering the atmosphere. COVID shots no longer will be recommended for healthy children and pregnant women. That on direction from Health Secretary Robert Kennedy. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. On the heels of Lilo and Stitch's incredible showing at the box office, it's time for a tip of the cap to Disney CEO Bob Iger, who returned to run the studio in 2022 in the middle of the pandemic. Variety reports that prior to his arrival, the studio was putting out too many films, quantity over quality. Some of the studio hits since Iger's arrival include Inside Out 2, Mufasa the Lion King, Moana 2, and Deadpool and Wolverine. The four films were some of the biggest hits last year. On the way from the House of Mouse this summer are Avatar 3 and Zootopia 2. The Last of Us Season 2 is in the books. Last Sunday's episode pulled in 3.7 million viewers, a 30% drop from the season's premiere. Despite the 30% drop from the season premiere to the finale, the show is still outperforming Season 1 when it comes to overall numbers. HBO has already given the go-ahead for Season 3. There is no release date, but production is scheduled to start in June. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A walk-off win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bottom of the 10th. Score tied 1-1. The Brewers' Christian Yelich at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Fly ball to deep right! It is way back! First career walk-off home run for Yelich!
A 400-yard shot to center field. The Brewers winning 5-1 last night. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's been swinging the bat great. Yeah. Special night for him.
Christian Yelich, on what kind of a pitch did he see from the Red Sox Liam Hendricks?
You know, kind of just caught a slider, right? And a big win for us. You know, we battled the whole time, and great team win all around.
The series wrapping up today. College football. Former Badgers wide receiver Quincy Burroughs signed by Western Kentucky. NFL, Packers OTAs continue in Green Bay without Jair Alexander or center Elgton Jenkins. Both players in talks to renegotiate their contracts. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabe. On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian-singer Rob Perivonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with scattered showers today. We'll get to the mid to upper 60s for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 75 on Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Georgia law allows unlimited challenges by voters to the eligibility of other citizens registering or voting. Before a hotly contested U.S. Senate runoff election in 2021, an activist group challenged over 364,000 voters. The case is now before an appeals court. Remember the Georgia legislature's notorious SB 202 prohibiting line warming, the giving out of food and water for voters forced to wait in long lines to vote? That is only one of many barriers in the law targeting voters of color. Another allows citizen activists unlimited challenges to the eligibility of other citizens to register and vote, often using inaccurate or hearsay information. At issue are mass challenges to over 364,000 mostly black and Hispanic voters by True the Vote, the Texas group that brought you the discredited 2000 Mules conspiracy theory documentary. Georgia's Fair Fight Action sued, but a federal district court said voters testifying didn't provide enough evidence to rise to a Voting Rights Act violation. In Fair Fight's 11th Circuit appeal on May 13th, two judges in the three-judge panel voiced concern over the legal foundation of the lower court's decision. One judge suggested that the intent of voter suppression was enough to be a violation of the VRA, even if citizens voted successfully. Expect a decision in the coming weeks. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
We go to a place and you can just, we actually reserved it already, but they got, even they got the swan. You know what I mean?
I don't know. What is a swan? What do you mean?
Well, it's hard plastic.
Todd's got a smirk on his face. He has a comment.
Okay, so I've seen paddle boats.
That's
where, right?
Right.
Are you talking about one that's actually built like a swan?
Yeah.
I want a picture of that. That'll be my Facebook page.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Late July.
Conversations in Washington, D.C. that are threatening funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP for short. You know, that doesn't just impact families and their desire to have a complete meal. It's also impacting farms across the state. Stephanie Hoff's got a story from one of those farms being impacted in Rudolph, Wisconsin. Stick around for that. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on a Wednesday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. Today, 28th day of May, what can I tell you? Let's see, on this day, back in 1937, Volkswagen is founded. The automobile manufacturer, whose name means people's car, started in Germany. It's one of the world's biggest, as a matter of fact, producing classics like the VW Golf and the VW Beetle. Volkswagen started on this day back in 1937. On this day, 1961, Amnesty International is started. A publication of Peter Benenson's article, The Forgotten Prisoners, is usually considered the organization's birth hour. Amnesty International, one of the world's most influential human rights organizations around today, started on this day back in 1961. Let's see, what else can I tell you? On this day, 1962, Wide World of Sports with Chris Schenkel premiered on CBS Radio. I just remember the poor skier that ended up repeatedly taking a terrible fall. Wide World of Sports started on this day back in 1962. And a happy birthday for you this morning. He is a former attorney, Rudy Giuliani, still practicing today, I'm sure. Former Associate Attorney General of the United States, Rudy Giuliani, turns 81 years young today. And now you know. It's a Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. You know how to do it. STEFFESgroup.com. Or if you want to talk to somebody and maybe get your own auction going, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group along with us. I was teasing him. He's got people all over the state of Wisconsin inquiring about working with the Steffes Group, including the sale we want to focus in on today. Hi, Ashley, up in Crivitz.
Yeah, it's up in the corner. But, you know, when we talk real estate, we always got to be ahead, because sometimes you might need a bank or something to help you out with that. But we've got a nice 34-acre parcel with a building site and house, lots of outbuildings. And then we have a 20-acre parcel that could be a nice building site someday.
Excellent. And do they have anything besides real estate? Are we talking about the Donowski Estate Farm auction?
Yes, and so actually Wednesday is going to be a three-part auction. So we're going to do the real estate at noon, and that's going to have the two parcels we were just talking about on it. And as we're talking about the real estate on the 29th, there is a preview, so check that out and feel free to swing over. We'll have people that can walk you around and help you out and answer all the questions you might need there. And then at 3 o'clock, we've got part one of the machinery auction. That's going to be the farm equipment. He's a big collector of White and Oliver tractors, so and some Minneapolis Moline's in there, skid loaders, attachments, some hay equipment. And then later on in the evening, we're going to be doing the shop tools, which includes a nice Miller MIG welder. There's bandsaw, surface grinder, woodworking tools, just a lot. So it got spread out over 3 auctions.
Yeah, I'm looking at it online right now, folks, and you can do the same. StephisGroup.com. If you just type in Danowski, you will see what Ashley's talking about. One question. I had never thought about this, but if you're doing a real estate auction, is it as easy to do real estate on the website, Ashley, versus that physical experience? Tell me a little bit about that quick.
Yeah, it really is. You know, as far as the bidding process goes, it is the same. The extension works the same. However, being that it is real estate, getting signed up is a little bit different process. So you'll go in there, you'll request a bid, and you will not have your bidding privileges turned on until you actually talk to one of us from the office.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that you understand the terms and conditions. You know, it's real estate. Everything has to be in writing. And so there's a lot more involved there legally in the eyes of the real estate world that we have to do. So we want to make sure that we actually have a conversation. You understand the ramifications of what you're doing. You're comfortable with the bidding process because, you know, those are bigger numbers. We don't want people putting in extra zeros and things like that.
And do you check to make sure they've got funds available or anything like that?
Yeah, we have a conversation, you know, you know, and things like that. Now, typically on these real estate auctions, it's not, you know, we're not contingent on any kind of financing.
Okay.
So it is you're more than willing and able to get financing.
Right.
You just have to do it within the time frame that we have set up on there, but it's not contingent. So if your financing falls through, then, you know, you're going to have to call a rich uncle or somebody like that.
Well, that's good to know. That's why I asked the question. Good enough, Ashley Hewn, along with us on a Wednesday. As usual with the Steffes Group, that's one of the questions that you might have asked. They do a wonderful job with all their online business, and now you know that includes real estate. Find out more. Go to their website, steffesgroup.com. That's S-T-E-F-F-E-S group.com. Or if you're looking at participating in the sale, need to talk financing, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
What's that you say? You didn't hear what the guest said, or you missed part of the conversation? No problem. Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and glance through our podcast playlist. You'll see the entire conversation or the completed show all in that list. Plus, you might stumble across something that you missed. Score! That podcast playlist is also a great way to pass the time in the truck cab or the tractor seat. That's MidwestFarmReport.com.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Believe it or not, for a lot of Wisconsin farmers, spring planting is already in the rearview mirror. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday, across the state, 85% of our corn was already in the ground, 80% of our soybeans had been planted, and farmers are feeling fairly confident about the crops, at least right now. 62% say their corn crop looks good to excellent. We've got 88% of our potatoes already in the ground, about 20% of our first cutting of alfalfa has already been harvested, and again, like I said, farmers feeling pretty good. 79% of that first cutting of alfalfa rated good to excellent. Now, that's not the case for all farmers. Kurt Lahr is a regional production specialist with CHS. He says right now, compared to states like Illinois that are struggling with too much rain, Wisconsin's looking pretty good.
Wisconsin's in a really good position right now. slightly ahead of year-over-year in planting, especially for corn and soybeans. The recent rains we've had in the last couple of days is really going to help that subsoil moisture, even though I think currently Wisconsin in a lot of areas was 70% adequate in subsoil moisture. So we're just in a really good spot.
Yes, we are. Kurt Lahr, Regional Production Specialist with CHS. Now, in overnight electronic trade, despite the fact that our crops look okay in the fields, markets are a little mixed to start us off. Currently, we've got July corn up 3, December new crop up 3 at 449. July soybeans are down a half. November new crop down a penny at 1050. July wheat right now up 6.5, 535 a bushel. Dairy had a crazy day yesterday. Barrel cheese was up a penny and a quarter at 186.5. 40-pound block cheese gained a nickel to 192. Double A butter on Tuesday up a dime to 252 a bushel. Now, as far as milk is concerned this morning, the June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, ready to expire, up 27 cents, closed at 1961. July's up 3 at 2019 a hundredweight. Interesting new survey out from the University of Wisconsin in Madison that shows farmers are paying attention to climate change. The survey was of more than 900 Wisconsin farmers, and it found that a majority do acknowledge climate change is happening and is influencing what they're doing today and what they're planning for in the future. The survey was done by SHAL. SHAL, in this case, stands for Soil Health and Agroecological Living Lab. That's within the Department of Community and Environmental Sociology on the UW-Madison campus. They also collaborated with UW-River Falls Survey Research Center. They started this survey back in February. About 3,200 farms were involved. They had a 29% response rate, which is fantastic. And some of the takeaways show that 56% of those farms that responded said they believe climate change is happening, and some have started putting different practices in place because of it. 46% of the farms said they're practicing cover crops. 38% are putting in some kind of diversity crop plan, and 39% are using conservation tillage. 47% of the farms that responded said they agree or strongly agree that climate change will harm agriculture in Wisconsin, and 46% believe that climate change is happening because of human activity.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Brickstead Dairy Farm, located at 1734 Wayside Road in Greenleaf, Wisconsin, is a five-generation family-owned and operated dairy that was founded in the mid-1800s. Their mission is to be your source for local, healthy, affordable beef raised with care and sustainability. No growth hormones, antibiotics, or artificial pesticides in their cattle. Check out their website at BricksteadDairy.com for a variety of ship direct-to-you ordering options. Brickstead Dairy Farms, smart dairy, healthy planet.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Dismantling the IRA and other federal clean energy incentives will add a half a gigaton of greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. That's according to modeling from Princeton University. House Republicans passed aggressive cuts to clean energy incentives in their latest budget. The Senate is now considering the bill. The Public Service Commission of Wisconsin has given the green light for a major build-out of fossil fuel-burning power plants in Wisconsin. We Energies wants to build new gas plants and operate them for 30 years, largely to meet the needs of Microsoft's new AI data center. It's turtle nesting season, and the DNR is asking drivers to slow down on roads near wet areas, lakes, and rivers. Wisconsin's 11 turtle species lay eggs from late May through June, when you can often see them along roads and in yards. You can help keep them safe by being alert when driving through their habitat. For a deep dive into environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Trigby Olson, The Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow. On Mornings with Pat Kreitlow joins us to talk about priorities Wisconsin might have in the state budget. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Fresh produce, fish fillets, and beef year-round to Wisconsin consumers. He also tells me that it's a major asset that SNAP recipients can purchase food from farmers market vendors. Carl was recently in Washington, D.C., asking lawmakers to support a strong supplemental nutrition assistance program. First, he tells us about his farm in Rudolph, which from the outside looks like a dairy farm. But on the inside, there aren't any cows. There's fish.
We have eight 200-gallon tanks where the tilapia live. They get fed a natural food. They produce a nutrient-rich water. Then the nutrient-rich water flows through a floating raft system where the plants grow. We have a 52-day cycle is what it takes to go from start to finish.
It's kind of an interesting story. You went from milking cows to growing produce.
I milked cows my whole life on the farm that I was born and raised. That's just a mile down the road from where we are right now. In 2022, the dairy farm sold. Just the buildings. I kept all my organic land. And fortunately, we had this other barn to move down to. So now we're all set up there. My son's been doing this for 10 years while I was milking cows. So it was kind of a dual operation.
What's the consumer's view on aquaponics?
Well, they're very intrigued on it. And one of the big benefits is that our lettuce was harvested 12 to 24 hours ago. So it's very fresh. It has a 2+ week shelf life. So the people like that they have a product that is clean and will stay fresh. We introduced tilapia fillets to the public too, so they see the many benefits that they're getting from this system.
Does it extend your growing season at all? I see you've got some leafy greens here that perhaps other people don't have yet.
Well, as the label says here, it's June 21st, 365. We never stop. So when I was at the Dane County Farmers Winter Market, these same greens were there. Now, you know, everybody in their high tunnels and stuff is starting to produce, but we have a following. They like what we're doing, and they like the taste. They like the freshness. There are some stories is that we hear people that had to quit eating the greens in the store because it didn't agree with them anymore. So they tried ours, and now they can eat fresh greens again.
Is the farmer's market your primary market?
No, back home up in Wausau, we have two restaurants, Scotty's Ale House and Breakfast Bear. We sell at the Stevens Point Co-op in Stevens Point, and then a Family Natural Foods in Wisconsin Rapids. I love what I'm doing. Part of it is the education, educating people. I did graduate from Madison College last May for artisanal meat butchering culinary. So I'm taking that education and I'm teaching people what to do with a roast, what to do with certain pieces of meat that they're not familiar with, you know, and they're excited, you know, and they're being able to feed their family a good food that I provide.
You're going to have to teach me how to use some of this stuff. Pak choy?
We've gotten it. What we have is a summer crisp, is a head lettuce. We have a gourmet loose lettuce, like a spring mix. Then we have a straight romaine. And then what we've gotten into is some specialty greens. We do chives. This is a Tokyo. It's an Asian green. Then we have Gai Ling, which is a Chinese broccoli. Then we do fresh Swiss chard. Pak choy is like bok choy, but it's a loose open head, which grows very well in our aquaponics room. And then we have what's called beet greens.
the reason you get into some of these specialty greens, is this what the consumer is after? Something a little different than your typical spring mix?
Yes, we're trying to be diverse and provide something that isn't real common, you know, available in a fresh state like this. You can probably get it in the grocery store that's shipped in from who knows where, but, you know, we're providing it fresh here.
People are coming up to you exchanging cash, but there's more options for folks who may not have that kind of expendable money.
At the farmer's market, at the information desk, you can bring your SNAP card, and you can redeem it for tokens. And those tokens then can be spent at the farmer's market here. And our market here at Dane County, we have a grant program, which is called Double Dollars. So when you bring your SNAP card in and you get a dollar off of your SNAP card, we give you another dollar. So you're actually getting $2 worth of money to spend at the farmer's market.
Has that helped you as a producer with people having more ways to purchase?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's put thousands and thousands of dollars into the farmers markets here in Dane County and back home in Wausau and Stevens Point. So, yeah, it's a very important program. I just spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., campaigning with Farmers Union. It's very important what we stress to the politicians is that in the Farm Bill, we need a strong nutrition program.
Carl Flagg, along with us from Flagg Family Farm out of Rudolph. He says he felt optimistic after talking with Wisconsin's delegation in Washington, D.C., whether or not to cut back on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is a large point of discussion this week in Congress during the budget reconciliation process. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
How the Food as Medicine movement helps farmers today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community, and while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Locally grown food is perfect for the food as medicine movement. Fresh food is generally a healthier option, according to Paula Martin, who works with the Groundwork Center for Resilient Communities in Traverse City, Michigan.
We understand that local food and farming systems help keep money locally. It promotes health significantly, and we really do want to preserve farmland.
Martin says the Groundwork Center works to serve multiple locales around Michigan, and that's good for farmers in those areas.
We support farmers by finding markets for them and getting locally grown food into our food access and emergency programs. We make sure it's equitably distributed.
Martin says healthy foods options are becoming more of a staple in the healthcare arena.
The state of Michigan will be launching in June a part of their Medicaid health plans in lieu of medical services. And that does cover prescriptions for produce programs, medically tailored meal programs, medically tailored groceries, and then healthy food boxes.
Martin was participating in a recent Farm Foundation forum on food, health, and agricultural innovation. You can find a link to a recording on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. And I'll have more from that event tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
This week, we visit with two powerful Medicaid advocates who share their stories and help debunk some of the rhetoric behind the looming Medicaid cuts.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month, a time to pause and remember your mental health is as important as your physical health. Jeff Olson's son struggled with stress and anxiety, and this father from the UP says he's speaking out to save lives.
He came to us, asked for help as a junior in high school, fought it for 3 more years, had a couple suicide attempts in between there. The anxiety and depression was too much for him, and he ended up taking his life. My wife and I felt the need to speak up and not hide this in hopes of educating people so they didn't have to go through what my son Daniel went through.
If you're struggling, you are not alone. Reaching out is a sign of strength, not weakness. The Suicide or Crisis Lifeline is available 24/7. You could call or text 988 anytime. Again, 988. Let's choose to connect and care for ourselves and others this month and every month. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The hunt for an escaped inmate in Arkansas goes on. Grant Hardin is a former police chief, but he's also a convicted killer and rapist. And police say he broke out of prison last week by donning a fake law enforcement uniform. 8 down, 2 to go. The remaining fugitives who escaped from a New Orleans jail are still eluding police. ABC's Jim Ryan with more on who they are.
Derrick Groves was being held at the Orleans Parish Prison after he was convicted late last year in a double homicide on Mardi Gras 2018. Fellow escapee Antoine Massey is no stranger to jailbreaks, having fled custody several times since 2007. Police on Tuesday were following up on an unconfirmed sighting of Massey in Natchez, Mississippi.
Also out of jail, possibly as soon as today, Todd and Julie Chrisley, the reality TV stars who defrauded banks out of more than $30 million. President Trump saying he will pardon them. Trump administration moving to cut off all remaining federal funding to Harvard. This is ABC News.
This is your local